What is up, my love, and welcome back to the 1% Woman podcast. I am so excited for today's episode because today I'm going to be sharing with you guys the 10 things that I wish I knew when I first started my business. This is going to be such a good episode. It's practically going to be a conversation between me now and the past version of myself. 2020 Gab, who was grinding on social media, I was grinding on my Instagram page, I was grinding in my business, my little fitness Instagram coaching business that quickly turned into a full-fledged corporation in the matter of 6 months. That version of myself made a lot of mistakes. And there was a lot of things that she didn't know, that she was completely naive about, that I now have the wisdom and knowledge and experience to be able to share with her, that I'm really excited to share with you on today's podcast episode, in case you are someone who's in my similar shoes, whether you are someone who is thinking about starting a business, whether you're someone who is in the beginner stages of entrepreneurship and you're like, I don't want to make the same mistakes that you did, let me learn from you, or you're someone who's knee deep into entrepreneurship and you are at the place where I was probably about a year or two ago here now, where you're seeing a lot of success externally, but internally you're struggling. The imposter syndrome is all consuming. The overwhelm, the anxiety, the burnout is building up and you're like, How do I get out of this? I started my business for freedom and for fulfillment, and I am experiencing the exact opposite of those things. Today's episode is going to be so helpful for you. So without further ado, let's dive right in. I want to start with sharing with you guys what my entrepreneurship journey has kind of looked like so far. So we're going to blast a little bit far past 2020, which is when I actually started my business. But to give some context, I started my Instagram page back in 2017 to document my eating disorder recovery journey. I was in college, I was struggling with an eating disorder, and I had hired my very first health and fitness coach to help me recover from my eating disorder. So it was really cool that I got to experience the magnitude of what coaching had to offer, online coaching had to offer, firsthand for 3 years, having someone help me recover from my eating disorder. Then 2020 happened. I graduated from college and I was like, I want to do this myself. I want to help change other women's lives in the same way that my coach has helped me change mine, which inspired me to start taking on clients and help them with their relationship with their body and food and fitness and heal their relationship with that and heal disordered eating and become the healthiest version of themselves from the inside out. And funny enough, it was kind of a perfect firestorm that I had started taking on clients in the beginning of 2020. Then March of 2020, COVID hit, which was the big boom to the social media world and to the coaching space, which also translated to a big boom inside of my business. And I very, very, very quickly scaled to multiple six figures. By that August, I was hiring my first assistant coach to help me inside of my business, to help me serve my clients, because I had a roster of over 60 clients at the time. And then in November is when I took my little small fitness business and I turned it into a full-fledged brand outside of myself, which is called Defined Community. Defined Community is my very first little baby that I loved so freaking much that I am so proud of. I ran Define from November of 2020 to May of 2023. So Define, as I mentioned, scaled very quickly. We had multiple assistant coaches. We had a sales team. We had a whole team of people who helped bring that vision to life that I am so incredibly grateful for. We served over 400 clients throughout the course of those 2.5 to 3 years. It was such a magical journey. However, on the back end, as the entrepreneur of that journey, I was struggling inside. I was struggling a lot inside. So this all began to manifest. My internal challenges began to really manifest towards the end of 2021. I was experiencing a severe identity crisis because I felt so stuck and trapped in this box of the fitness girl. And as I was evolving, my relationship with food continued to evolve. My relationship with my body continued to evolve. I was becoming healthier. I was becoming more and more disattached and disconnected from the fitness coaching space. And I was really struggling because I felt like I had fit myself into that box. I had built a whole entire brand and business off of it. And so because of that, because I was struggling with this like internal turmoil, this internal identity crisis of like, who am I if I am not the fitness girl? And I also started to recognize that my self-worth and my identity became defined by my business and my brand. And I didn't know who I was outside of my business. My self-worth was so tied up in how much money I was making and how my clients were doing and how successful I was. And so at the end of 2021, I hired my first personal development mentor. And he is who really started my journey of self-improvement, really started to help me peel back these layers and figure out, well, who am I at my core? What are the limiting beliefs that are these blind spots in my business? And really started to help me heal the relationship with myself as a leader and as a business owner. So that was the end of 2021. And the beginning of 2022, things took an even bigger pivot and turn. So in my personal life, completely outside of business, I lost my dad in April of 2022. That caused me to struggle with a really, really, really severe downward spiral from a mental health perspective. I started to question everything about myself and my life and what my purpose was here and what it actually means to live a successful and happy life. And I recognized that I had defined my life by so much by success. And I had defined success by what I was able to achieve. And that ended up being really unfulfilling, right? Success was defined completely externally, as opposed to defining success internally. Defining success by who I was becoming along the way. And to be really honest and transparent with you guys, when I would look in the mirror at myself in 2020, I wasn't happy. I wasn't proud of who I had become. I had completely become like a shell of a human. I had lost so many relationships. I became completely burnt out. I was really unhealthy physically, mentally, emotionally, because I had become a slave to my business. And so I went on, I took my self-improvement journey that I started at the end of 2021, and I took it way deeper. And I went on a really deep self-healing and inner work journey. And this is something that I had needed for years and years and years, all the way back to my eating disorder that I didn't realize I needed for so long. And because I went on this really deep self-healing journey, I had taken quite a step back from my business. Business had slowed down for me a lot. I then became a solopreneur again, and I completely reevaluated like what my purpose and what my mission and what my vision was for life. And I got back to the core of why I started Define in the first place, and it was to help women stop feeling defined by their body. And I recognized that, hey, I also need to help women stop feeling defined by anything externally, by success, by money, by approval, by achievement, by their body, by their looks, by their appearance, by aesthetics. Like, we need to stop defining our worth by things externally. And this is the trap that I got stuck in. I didn't know who I was. I was struggling severely with my identity and my self-worth. And that's when I decided to close the doors of my fitness coaching business. And I completely pivoted to mindset and personal development and self-healing coaching, which is what I do now for other high achievers within the 1% Woman, which is the podcast that you're listening to today, which I am obsessed with. And the mission and vision of the 1% Woman is to help other high achieving female entrepreneurs become the leader that you are meant to be, become the 1% woman that you are meant to be, not because of what you're able to achieve or not because of anything external, but because of who you've become along the way. It's about doing this inner work, this self-improvement work, the self-healing work that allows you to become the best version of yourself, the 1% woman that you are that you are meant to be, to clear out all of the limiting beliefs, the self-imposed limitations, the fears, the doubts, the insecurities, to clear them all out so that you can start showing up as the highest version of yourself, whether it's within your business, within your health and fitness, within your relationships, or any area of your life that you are looking to achieve your full potential within. It all starts from within. It all starts with claiming that woman, that 1% woman that you have within you, authentically and unapologetically. And that is what the 1% Woman is all about. And that is what I am all about. And I'm just really excited to share with you guys how I've been able to go on this journey of deeper self-improvement and personal development while also being an entrepreneur, while also running my business, and the things that I wish I knew when I first started my business so that I didn't have to necessarily go through these low lows. I think obviously I went through them for a reason so that I can serve now in this way. But now my mission and my vision and my purpose is to help women not hit the place of burnout and deep emptiness inside that I experienced in 2020 that sparked this whole journey for me. So without further ado, let's just dive right into the 10 things that I wish I knew when I first started my business. So number one is that there is a very big difference between business and entrepreneurship. They are very separate things. Business is going to be more so the structures, the systems, the marketing, the sales, the client journey, the offer creation, all of those things that are really important, right? But then there's entrepreneurship, which is the mindset, the identity, the being able to take the vision that you have in your brain and literally create it from scratch. It is the inner resilience. It is the emotional intelligence. It is the leadership. It is the who you are as the lifeblood of the business and what you're creating. So there is, yes, you need to optimize your business systems and structures, but you also need to make sure that you are prioritizing the journey of entrepreneurship, which is an evolution. Making sure that you are also prioritizing your self-improvement, your learning, your growth, your mindset, your identity, and how that is being translated into your business. Because that is the lifeblood of your business. Your mindset and your identity is the lifeblood of your business. Success is 20% systems, 80% mindset and identity, which is something that I didn't know when I first started. So I didn't prioritize it in the way that I should. I was so tunnel visioned to what, tell me what I need to do and I will do it, which got me some success, right? But it hit burnout and it was not sustainable success and it wasn't fulfilling either. And so that is because I neglected the journey of entrepreneurship. I neglected the journey of my identity as a CEO and stepping up to the plate as the leader that I needed to be. And so I think just expressing the importance of those two pieces of the journey that you're embarking on right now is the journey of building a business, but also the journey of entrepreneurship and your own personal evolution and literally taking what you vision for your life and creating it from scratch. And that takes a lot of internal work. So I think just understanding those two things is something that I wish that I knew when I first started my business and I first started becoming an entrepreneur, is that they're two very different things. And in fact, when I started getting support with my business, like I had a business coach, and then I also had a personal development coach, a life coach. Like when I had coaches for both of these sides of my life and both of these pieces of my journey, that's when I saw the most growth and the biggest quantum leap in both of those areas, personally and professionally. And so I think having support in both of these areas, personally and professionally, within business and within entrepreneurship, is a no-brainer and a non-negotiable for me personally in on my journey. So that is number one. Number two is that more work does not equate to more results. Stop overcomplicating business. So past Gab, 2020 Gab, I was searching for the quote unquote best way to do things or the right way to do things in business. And the more that I have over the past 4 years done business, the more that I've realized that there's not one right or best way to do things. That the right or best way to do things is what is actually feeling aligned with me. My values, my vision, my standards, my purpose, my mission, and what I was struggling with back in 2020 was I had hired so many different coaches and mentors, and I was just taking their cookie cutter blueprint and I was applying it to my business, and anything that didn't fit that blueprint, I deemed as bad or wrong or things that I shouldn't do, that I need to do differently, that I need to do it their way instead of doing it my way. And what happened is this started to really overcomplicate everything in business because I was inundated with all of this information overload about how to do business and what was right and what was wrong, coming from all these different voices, that it completely muted my own voice and my own intuition. And what I wish that I knew was that growth in my business literally had nothing to do with doing more or doing things even differently. Growth in my business would have come from and would have 10x'd if I would have learned how to just optimize what I was already doing and what was already working. So this is a reminder to you that if you are in business and you are desiring more, that is great. This is your reminder that it probably doesn't require more work from you. Probably just requires more optimization of the things that are already working for you. So that is number two. Number three is that hiring help is only helpful if you're able to use it properly and be a good leader. So as I mentioned when I shared with you guys my beginning stages of entrepreneurship. I had a lot of assistant coaches. I had a lot of contractors that worked for me. However, this only created a larger burden and more pressure on my shoulders that I was not yet able to hold or handle. That, yes, having contractors, having people work for you is a very, very, very large responsibility, and it is going to bring pressure to you. And also, you need to be able to be the leader, be the woman, the 1% woman, be the entrepreneur who can handle and hold it. I personally did not understand that. I did not know that. I was never taught that. I did not understand what it looked like to be a good leader to contractors who were working underneath of me. And now I've learned so much about leadership, so much about emotional intelligence, so much about communication, so much about boundaries, so much about standards, so much about how to be a good manager to contractors and people who are going to be doing work for you and with you. And what I want to get across here is that, like, hiring help, hiring assistant coaches, hiring an assistant, an executive assistant, is only helpful if you're actually able to use it. Because hiring help was not really necessarily overly helpful for me. It only created a lot of pressure to me, a lot of stress on me. And I was basically having to do double, triple the work because wasn't able to trust them. I wasn't able to trust my contractors. It was just a whole nother rabbit hole I could go down around why I was struggling to be a healthy leader. I was struggling with hyper-controlism and hyper-perfectionism. And because I wasn't able to let go and release these things, and I wasn't able, and I didn't know what it looked like to be a healthy, embodied leader for the people that I was hiring, it wasn't helpful to hire them. And so before you hire help, make sure that you are in the best place to know how to be a leader to them. All right, number four may be a little bit controversial, and I may even be contradicting myself with this one, but I find that it's really helpful to have two different whys on your journey. Only when you're starting. But I find that it's helpful to have two different whys. You have a why that is pushing you from behind and a why that is pulling you from ahead. So whenever you're like trying to make a massive change in your life, usually it's because you're running away from some type of pain, something from your past that you are looking to run away from. And I think that having that fire underneath of your ass is really helpful, that you never want to go back to that past version of yourself or that past life that you were living. There's something really powerful around something called negative visualization of, like, if you are visualizing the worst case scenario, that can be a huge motivator for you to actually take inspired action. So I think it's really helpful to have, especially in the beginning, that fire under your ass to build that momentum to push you forward. It's also so incredibly important to have the why that's pulling you from ahead, that bigger vision, that bigger purpose that you have for the actions that you're taking and for your life that is going to continue to motivate you. I find that where I kind of went wrong is I did have such a fire under my ass from my eating disorder to start my business, but I carried the weight and the pain and the shame from my eating disorder into my business, which is what caused a lot of the blind spots in my business and why my business was really built off a foundation of insecurity instead of out of a place of self-worth. So there comes a point within your entrepreneurial journey and within your business that you need to let go of the weight of your past if you want to get to the next level of your business. And so I think eventually, in the beginning, it's so helpful to have two different whys, one that is pushing you from behind and one that is pulling you from ahead. But eventually, that one that is pushing you from behind needs to be laid to rest. You need to heal, truly, fully heal from what is pushing you from behind in order for it to actually be a healthy foundation for you to build off of. Because if it still has cracks within it, if it still has wounding weaved within that hasn't been fully healed, it's going to manifest and show up time and time and time again. And you're going to continue to present that in your present and in your future of your business. It's going to be the bottleneck, the blind spot, the upper limit to your potential. And so eventually we need to let go of one of the whys and really just be pulled by the bigger vision, the bigger purpose, the bigger mission, the bigger vision. that definitely comes with time and comes with momentum and comes with proof and evidence that you are worthy and capable and confident and able to and enough to manifest the vision into your reality within your business. So that one's kind of probably a little bit controversial and different, but I hope that maybe it was like inspiring to you to really reflect of like, is my why right now in my business? Like, why am I starting it? And is my business potentially built on something that is like a rocky foundation because I haven't truly healed from my past? So the why from behind, the push from behind is coming from a very like insecure, I need to prove myself place instead of from a more empowering place. All right, number 5 is that you'll never feel successful if you're constantly living in the gap instead of the gain. So the difference between the gap and the gain, this is very similar to number 4, but the gap is where you're constantly comparing yourself from where you are to where you want to be. There's this gap between your present self and your future self. And when you're constantly living in the gap, you're constantly feeling like you're not doing good enough, which is going to hinder your self-confidence. That sometimes we need to look back and we need to live within the gain and look at how far that we have come, the transformation that we've experienced for ourselves, and maybe even the transformation that we've been able to already create for other people in their lives within our business, or the success that we've already been able to have within our life and our business. Like sometimes we need to get out of this gap of the future vision and we need to look back on our past in a very positive way, a positive light, and say, damn, fuck, look at how far I have come. Look at all this that I have achieved. Look at all this proof and evidence that I have already, that I am more than enough and I am more than worthy and I'm more than capable of having success in my business right now. So that just basically takes number 4 and flips it on upside its head as well. It's like not always living within the gap between where you are right now and where you want to be, because sometimes that can be really, really, really discouraging and hindering to your confidence and always making you feel like you're falling short and never enough. And start taking some time and doing plenty of self-reflection to recognize the gain that you have had. Also, remembering, like, if you are constantly measuring yourself up against someone else, whether it is this future version of yourself or someone else, you're always going to feel like you're coming in second place. You're always going to feel like you're coming in second place because you can never be a first of someone else. You can only be the first of yourself. So just, I hope that squashes the comparison bug right here, right now. I definitely needed this chat back 2020 Gab to stop comparing myself, to stop trying to build the same business that I had seen everyone else, fitness business that I'd seen everyone else build, that I always felt like I was falling short or never good enough for, because I was constantly comparing myself to their business and their brand and how they were doing things and their content and how many clients that they had, how many assistant coaches they had. Like, squash all that shit right now. That is the biggest poison to your self-confidence, to your self-image, and to your ultimate success and authenticity and so much more. It's just poison all around. All right, squash all of that comparison game right now. That is number 5. Number 6 is that your business is going to be a mirror. Business and entrepreneurship is such a mirror. I like to call it personal development with a paycheck, because it is going to reflect back to you all of the internal blind spots, all of those shadow parts within yourself. So think of the ways that you get triggered inside of your business, that you have an emotional reaction inside of your business, or that you are stuck in reactionary self-sabotaging cycles in your business. Maybe the escaping habits that you have in your business, whether that is overworking, or it's abusing caffeine, or it's doom scrolling, or it's comparison, or it's emotional eating. Maybe it's the way that you are projecting onto other people. Maybe it's clients. Maybe it's other people on social media within your business. All of these are signs that there are deeper inner shadow parts within you that need some healing work. And again, as I mentioned earlier, there's a little bit of a difference between self-improvement and self-healing. Self-healing is doing this deeper inner work of these darker parts of yourself that are holding on to pain and shame and insecurity, and healing them so that they are no longer showing up and manifesting in your life as that upper limit to your potential. It's about reclaiming these parts of your identity that we have shoved and pushed into our shadows in order to fit ourselves into this box of who you think you need to be in order to be successful, reclaiming these shadow parts so that they aren't showing up as triggers or reactionary patterns or escaping behaviors or projections that are sabotaging your success inside of your business. It is such a mirror. Entrepreneurship is such a mirror for all the internal blind spots that you may be struggling with or facing. So any place of your business that you are showing up in a way that doesn't feel good to you, use that as an opportunity to get curious and to go deeper and to do some inner healing, to reclaim a part of yourself that is holding on to pain. This is the high achiever's journey. This is what it means to be a 1% woman, is to be on the path of using your business and entrepreneurship as the mirror to become the best version of yourself. It's such a powerful tool. It is such a powerful tool. And I feel so grateful to have had the gift over the past 4 years of being able to use my journey of entrepreneurship to truly evolve from this weak little girl who was in so much pain, 45 pounds underweight, struggling with my mental health severely, to now where I am at today, the most empowered, strong, confident, independent, heart-centered, empathetic, sensitive, courageous, genuine, authentic version of myself that I am, happiest version of myself that I've ever been in my entire life. Business will be the mirror that allows you to do that. So lean into it instead of fearing it or avoiding it. Don't avoid the work. All right. It'll eventually slap you in the face and you'll have to do it at some point in some way. So that is number six. Number seven is you have an unfair advantage inside of your business. So capitalize on it. Yes, queen. I'm going to give you like 2 seconds here. What do you think your unfair advantage is inside of your business? Like, there is an answer, but I just want you to think for a second. What is your unfair advantage inside of your business? All right, let me tell you. Your unfair advantage is your experience, is your story, is who you are able to be and embody today because of what you have been through before, is the knowledge and wisdom that you have because of what you've been through and been able to overcome, the steps that you have taken along the way, the path that you have paved through your own journey that you can now bring someone else through. That is your unfair advantage in your business. Capitalize on it. Capitalize on your story and your experience and all the things that you have been through. That is what makes you the authority in the transformation that you're able to provide to someone else, in the way that you're able to help and support and guide someone else. That is mentorship. Is I have walked the journey before you and I can bring you along with me. That is what it means to be a 1% woman, is to pave your own path and be the leader that inspires other people to do the same. Be the light. You have an unfair advantage inside of your business. That is your experience and your story. That is the woman that you are able to embody because of what you have gone through and overcome along the way. Capitalize on it. Share it. Be vulnerable. But also celebrate the gains and who you have become because of your story. So that is number seven. Number eight is being able to set boundaries actually creates a lot more freedom for you. I know that for me, like, setting boundaries was something I really struggled with. As a people pleaser, I struggled to set boundaries. I struggled with communication. I struggled with all of those things. And I think as a lot of like high achieving people pleasers, we struggle to set boundaries. We say yes to everything. We overcommit. We avoid conflict at all costs. So we never say no, or we don't like to stick up for ourselves because maybe we don't feel worthy of it. Whatever the story is that you want to tell yourself, being able to set boundaries in your life actually will create so much more freedom in your life, but especially inside of your business. Boundaries and structure create more freedom. And if you have boundaries in your life that are preventing you from feeling free, then you need to reevaluate the boundary. You need to reevaluate the boundary. A boundary is probably not a boundary that's actually aligned or authentic to you. Or maybe it's not even a boundary at all. And this is something that I learned recently, is the difference between a request, a compromise, and a boundary. A request is something that you're asking of someone. A compromise is an agreement that you are coming to terms with someone. A boundary is something that you set for yourself and has absolutely nothing to do with anyone else besides you and what your needs are. And the more that you're able to value yourself, the easier that it becomes to set this boundary, because you are going to be the queen of protecting your peace and protecting your energy and being in alignment with your bigger purpose and mission and vision and staying in within your power. To do so, you need to be able to set boundaries. And setting boundaries are going to create so much more freedom for you to stay in alignment with your zone of genius and in alignment with what actually fills you up and feel so free within that. So learn the art of setting boundaries. I have a whole nother podcast episode about this that I really encourage you to listen to if you're someone who feels like you are a people pleaser and you're struggling to set boundaries in your business or in your relationships or in your life. Now's the time to start to learn how. Number 9 is success doesn't require suffering. Success doesn't require suffering. It gets to feel good. It gets to feel easy. I know for me as an athlete, for my entire life, I was literally programmed to think that I have to suffer in order to be successful. I have to work my fucking ass off, run sprints, be like, I was trained and taught that champions are bred when the lights are off and no one else is watching, which is true and is such a good mentality to have and something that I still embody today. But that doesn't mean that you have to suffer in order to be successful. And in fact, if suffering is part of the ingredients to your success equation, it's ultimately going to fail and be unsustainable and unfulfilling. Success doesn't have to require suffering. It can actually feel really good and gets to be easy when it is in alignment with you, when it is done in a healthy and embodied way, when it's not built on a foundation of insecurity or needing to prove yourself or overworking yourself or have littered with tons of limiting beliefs that force you to constantly be facing resistance along the way. Like when you're able to clear all of that out, it gets to feel good and it gets to feel easy. And also just wanted to note on this one that like stress also doesn't have to consume you in order to see success. And this is a story that I used to tell myself all the time. I used to normalize the success that I was facing in the beginning of my entrepreneurship journey because I thought that it was just part of being an entrepreneur, is that you were going to just be stressed all the time. Like false. You do not have to be stressed all the time in order to be successful as an entrepreneur. Does that mean that you're never going to be stressed? Absolutely not. Stress is actually a really healthy thing for our body in very acute forms, our body and mind and soul. In very acute forms, but it's the chronic stress that you can't seem to get out of that starts to completely drain all of your energy and become a part of your personality that now it is the bottleneck to your business. So stress does not have to consume you. When you learn how to protect your peace, set the boundaries, as I mentioned in number 8, when you learn how to manage your stress in the best way, and when you learn how to build this sense of inner resilience where you aren't triggered or reactionary to things that are happening inside of your business, when you stop taking things in your business personally, oh girl, you are going to become unstoppable. All your stress going to be flushed down the toilet. All the anxiety that you're facing going to completely go away. This is probably the biggest transformation that I see within my clients, is they stop taking things personally inside of their business and they're able to show up within their business so much more empowered and strong and resilient and disciplined and excited than ever before. And that's what I want for you. So success doesn't have to require suffering, and it also does not have to require stress. That is point number 9. And number 10, last but not least, is I would tell the past version of myself to stop going so fast. Stop going so fast. You have the rest of your life to manifest your dream business. This journey of entrepreneurship is something that you desire to be on for the rest of your life. So stop rushing it. The urgency that you are feeling is coming from a place of lack and scarcity, which is a sign that, number 1, we need to do some inner work. And number 2, it is being in an energy in a state of lack and scarcity is going to repel any type of abundance from you, especially experiencing abundance with the ease that we were just talking about in number 9. And you are always going to feel like you are on this rat race if you're trying to just feel this sense of instant gratification and instant success. And if you're trying to go so fast and see everything so quickly and caught up in the hustle culture, unsubscribe. Immediate unsubscribe. All right? You have the rest of your life to manifest your dream business. You have the rest of your life to serve the people that you are meant to serve. You have the rest of your life to create what you are meant to create. And that does not mean to procrastinate or to hold yourself back or to wait for the perfect time. Like, we don't subscribe to that, those limiting beliefs either. But we're also not trapped in hustle culture. We're completely burning ourselves out, trying to race to the top as quickly as possible, only to reach the top and feel unfulfilled when we get there, because that's where I was. So that is number 10. And I think in summary, the biggest lesson that I've learned so far in my 4 years of entrepreneurship is that the times that I've been the most proud of myself as an entrepreneur is the times that I've been able to reflect on how my own journey of transforming my own life has been able to help other people do the same. That it is because I had the courage to take the first steps to heal myself, whether that was healing from my eating disorder or that whether that was from burning myself out in my business and going down the rabbit hole of inner work and self-healing and identity transformation. Both of those times, it was me having the courage to heal myself, to do the deeper, harder work of healing that high achiever's mindset that's rooted in those internal insecurities and the low self-worth and the lack of identity and the core wounds of me not feeling good enough. It's by facing all of them head on my own journey, that I was able to create the most solid relationship with myself, that I was able to take back control of my own life, that I have been able to become the leader that I am and make the impact that I am able to make in the lives of other people. And when I reflect on that, on how proud I am of myself for being the pioneer, for being the leader, for paving the way for myself first and then for other people, that's when I've been the most proud of myself on my entrepreneurship journey. It has nothing to do with seeing a certain amount of money in my bank account, but it's when a client reaches out to me and they share with me how the work that we've done together has completely transformed their life. And I'm able to see the past version of myself within their journey and story and be like, dang, that's all because I went first. So be the 1% woman who does the things that 99% of the other people won't do and go first. Create your own path. Follow your own journey. And other people will follow. And to me, that is what the beauty of entrepreneurship is really all about. So I hope that this episode was helpful for any of you high achieving women out there. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. If you did enjoy, I would really appreciate 5-star review, comment below, share this with one of your business besties who you know needs to hear any of these reminders today. Thank you guys so much, and I'll talk to y'all next time. Love ya. Bye.